The Burt Show.
All right, I just asked Chocolate Rain to come back down here. I this has been on my mind since he's been on a couple of minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Hey, man. So grab a mic. We're going to have a real moment here for a second.
Whoa.
Yeah. So a couple of minutes ago, if you haven't been following this whole saga over the last couple of days, our intern here is really, really, really great guy, was dancing at Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Yeah, and it wasn't a lesson. It's what exactly is that night? Like salsa
night?
Bachata
night?
Yeah, it was a salsa social through my club. But, okay. Yeah.
So he goes there and he's dancing with this girl and they've got this great chemistry, right? And as happens at the end of the dance, right, he could have taken his shot because he was feeling this really, really great chemistry. Didn't have any idea who she was. Asked her, well, how did I do? And that was it, right? But we had a picture of her that a DJ here at the radio station did some research, and this dude, DJ Baby Drew, knows everybody in town. So we had this picture and he tracked her down. So to make a long story short, if you weren't listening a couple of minutes ago, we found her and we have her phone number. So we brought Chocolate Rain back on a couple of minutes ago. And I've been so, I don't know why it's in my head. It is so in my head. And I hate pushing my agenda on people. But lightly, I said, you know, this is your homework assignment. You've got to at least call her and or text her or whatever and reach out to her. And you were so reluctant to do it. And for whatever reason, the missed opportunities for me, they hurt, man. They really, really hurt. Mm. And bring Tommy in here also for a second. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going with this, but I know that it has been bothering me since you came on the radio because I feel like there's more than just you talking or texting this girl on the line. What I have learned in my years is that the biggest regrets I have are letting opportunities pass and wondering, like, what would have happened had I just overcome my fear and the rejection to get where I wanted to go. And when I look back at it, I'm like, there really was nothing on the line except a couple of minutes of rejection. It hurts my ego a little bit. But I did that time and time again, and I see you doing this with this opportunity, and I think there's a real chance here for you to improve your self-esteem just by trying. You know, Tommy was telling us that he almost didn't hire you here because of sort of your lack of confidence, and whatever happened between that first interview and second interview changed his mind.
Yeah, the first time we talked, one of the questions I always ask the intern, the potential interns, is tell me a story. Because I took an interviewing class when I was at NC State, and that was by far the most valuable class I ever took. And one of the questions that came out of that is, you may be asked, tell me a story. And Ethan could not tell a story to save his life the first time I talked to him. I don't know if you were having a bad day or what, but as soon as you started talking, I knew, yeah, this isn't going to work. And I feel really bad because it's rare that I turn somebody down. But
you got to be for us not to offer you a free job.
Kick a guy while he's down.
It was terrible. But let me tell you, he came back again. And one thing I love is persistence.
Right.
And that's what you need here. And you were persistent. You came back and knocked it out of the park. It was like I was talking to a totally different person. I don't know if you grew that much in a year or if it was just a bad day situation, but it was night and day. And I told Bert a few minutes ago, I'm going to miss you being here.
Aww.
I mean, I can't tell you how proud I am.
Because you're getting fired if you don't make this call.
To see the growth.
Just kidding. It's intergent.
But
so.
Bert is right. You're young, but you're going to regret it. And you got to look at things in a positive light. You may be at the Bert Show because this was the vehicle that got you to her.
Mm.
I mean, I was shocked that you danced with somebody because I know how shy you are. And the fact that you danced with her, you've already jumped that hurdle. And you've got the Bert Show reaching out, trying to find this girl. Maybe you didn't get her number there. But, you know, maybe the stars are aligning, put you here to meet this girl. What if she is the future Mrs. Chocolate Rain?
But maybe she's not. And who cares?
Mm.
But the confidence that you build by just reaching out will get you to the Miss Chocolate Rain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what's the worst thing that could happen?
That's the key.
And I don't want to dismiss that it appears that you're a shy guy. And it must be very, very difficult to reach out and take chances when you're shy. So it is a challenge for you. But I think the only way to get over that is to continually try to build your self-esteem. The result of her either hitting you back or not hitting you back is inconsequential. The building blocks of this ego and self-esteem are built just by trying.
Dude, you've already jumped one of the biggest hurdles in a relationship. Having to dance in front of that other person. Right. And you dance.
It's not as high for us.
What's the club again? What's it?
Oh, this is a salsa.
You dance a salsa.
Right.
That's not an easy dance.
Like, I can tell you, even like kind of shriveling up, that we're even talking about it right now, man. And I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable situation. I would just really like for this to be more than an internship about radio. And I think we have that opportunity.
I think I saw a quote the other day that said, whatever that thing is that you're afraid of is literally the thing that will change everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's like Bert said, it's really inconsequential what happens, but it does set the tone for the way you're going to handle these types of things in the future. And I think if you start to practice that now, and I'm completely with Bert as far as the regrets, I don't regret any time I ever got rejected. I don't even remember the times I got rejected, but I do remember the times when I didn't shoot, and I now have to wonder what would have happened if I did. Those are the worst. Getting rejected is not the worst. So I feel like this moment is a moment that you have to set yourself up for the future, because like I always say, once you become comfortable being uncomfortable, you become unstoppable.
Look at this dude now. I mean, he's going to be singing the national anthem. He's never sang before in front of 3,000 people come Saturday afternoon. And the only way I'm guessing that you got to the coolness, which is really annoying to me, and he's not nervous about it at all, is by going through these and getting over fear.
Absolutely.
3,000. It's going to be over 6,000.
6,000.
Yeah, I mean, the time that I had to rap in front of 20,000 at the Pepsi Center. I didn't want to do it. I was terrified. But that led to everything that came after that. The first time I had to get on stage to do comedy, it was probably in front of 20 people, but it was the most scared I've ever been in my life. And then now it's gotten me to where I am now. So all of those moments of where you're afraid, that's what I want to inspire people. Like, there's nothing on the other side of fear, bro. You just do it. And once you do it, it becomes easier and easier and easier to continue to do it every time.
Yeah, and the price of regret is something I had to learn the hard way. So much so that, I mean, literally a month ago, I flew to London just so I would not have regrets. And of course, I struck out big. It didn't end well at all. But for me, I remember when I was about your age, I had this fat crush on a guy I went to high school with. And I had an opportunity to make a move on him when I happened to be in his city. And we got in touch and we had a back and forth, and he invited me out to a bar. And I never went to that bar because in my mind, I was like, he's dating models. He always dated the hot girls in high school. Like, he's going to laugh in my face. And I, because of that fear, I did not take that chance. And I have to tell you, I think about that at least once a week. Mm. I think once a week about, why did I let my fear and my insecurities get in the way? Because I genuinely have a little bit of pain every single week thinking of, why did I talk myself down from an opportunity? So I think you need to take the results out of it, mm-hmm. of like, this could be Mrs. Chocolate Rain, or this could be my next girlfriend, because I know you got to pay $1,000 to your friend if you end up with a girlfriend anyway. So take that out of it and just take the thought of, I don't want to have regrets, and I don't want to have to think what if for the next 7 years, because I'm telling you, it lives with me.
Yeah, Ethan, I think all of us, nobody here wants you to force you to do anything you don't want to do. But I think all of us see you maybe walking down a path that we've walked down at some point and we regret, and we care about you, and we want to help you. But let me ask you, is it insecurity, or is there something else that's holding you back from making this move? Because if it's not just you feeling insecure or shy and it's something else, well, that's a different story. But I want to make sure we're on the right track and not, you know, putting you in an uncomfortable position in terms of, this is not what you want.
Cassie's also going to tell you that if you don't text this girl, that it's going to affect global warming.
Probably be good for the environment.
No, seriously, what is it?
Part of it is an insecurity thing, for sure. And I think for me, it's like, worst case scenario, if this girl does go to my school, I feel like, the Hispanic community is very small at my school, so they know, everybody knows each other, but then there are a lot of Hispanic people who know the black people, and I'm just like,
oh no, you asked a girl, like, what are they going to say? Like, honestly, let's play it out. What are they going to say? That you salsa danced and had a great time with a girl and then you asked her out? Why is that bad? In fact, if I heard that you moved heaven and earth to find her number after one night, one, I want to date her, but I also want to date you because those are the lengths that you go to find a partner. Like, there's nothing embarrassing about liking somebody or even just thinking someone's cute.
You just got to own it. Because all I see here is a guy who got into a top university in the United States, got a kick butt internship for one of the biggest radio shows in the country.
Oh, what was it like working for Elvis Duran?
It was actually really great. And went to a salsa night.
Yes, where, you dance. Are you kidding me?
Most guys are not putting themselves out in that way. You saw a girl, you saw what you wanted, and you're like, I need to find this girl. I will do what I will talk about her on the radio. You've already done the hard part. You've done the vulnerable thing and put yourself out there. Now we've found her. So give the people what they want, Ethan.
Here is Eli. We don't even know. He's got some advice for you. Hey, Eli.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for calling. What you got?
So I will give some advice because I share a similar story because, and I'll kind of preface this, I'm not married to my wife because of this. But back 17 years ago, didn't really have social media or even have the help that you guys, that they're giving you to even find the person. So I met my wife at Royal Peacock, had a great dance, and that was it. And so couldn't find her anymore. Kind of forgot about the situation. Fast forward a year, I met her at Myrtle Beach, of all places, at Bike Week. And so since then, we were hip to hip and eventually got married, and I got three beautiful daughters now. And so I will say that, yes, being shy, that was my fault in terms of even taking advantage. But the universe will, universe being, you have this supporting cast putting this information. The information is there for you now to just give it a shot. There's nothing wrong with giving it a shot.
Appreciate you calling, man. All right. That said, I'm going to give you the number. I'm going to write it down here. Do with it what you want. Then we're going to come back on Monday and talk about it. Okay?
Okay.
Go do your thing, man.
The Burt Show. When you need the right words and don't want to screw it up, let The Burt Show be your texting tutor. And we'll screw it up for you.
All right, we are going to be helping Joan text because she and a group of moms are joining together for a boycott. All right, a boycott of their preschools, what they consider ridiculous holiday demands. And she wants our help breaking the news to a preschool administrator. Okay, good morning, Joan.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am great. Thank you so much.
All right.
How
are you? I'm glad that these ridiculous holiday demands could bring all sorts of communities together. What are the demands that you guys think that are just so incredibly ridiculous?
Oh, my goodness. For this preschool that they have put on us for this month, like, I need help. Okay. So the demands are dress up as your favorite Christmas character, wear your favorite Christmas sweater, December 9th, Christmas PJ Day. Then the next day, World Christmas Day. The next day, Christmas dance. Oh, my goodness. Favorite Christmas song. Christmas show and tell. Christmas cookie swap. Oh, my goodness. Christmas ornaments. It is just crazy. All the way up until the 20th for a Christmas program. Mind you, this is pre-K. They are only four.
So every day, your preschool, the class, has set like a different theme or whatever. And obviously they're four, so the child is not going to be responsible for any of this. You're going to be the one responsible for getting them dressed as a Christmas character and getting the Christmas sweater and getting the cookies for the cookie swap and the whole nine yards.
I mean, they're four. What, do they really care?
No.
Nope, right.
Come on.
So I'm sure you're going to speak to this, Joan, and you're going to, I mean, Kristen's going to double down with you also. The stress on moms this time of year outside of all this is out of hand, right? So now they want you to add this to your list. Like, it's not a big deal. Come on, moms. Come on, dads. How hard can this be?
Listen, we are tired. We are overwhelmed. We are overextended. And our December class list is just out of hand.
So how many other moms do you have rallying behind you? Or maybe they nominated you to be the spokeswoman. But how many moms do you have that are like, like, it's kind of like Les Mis, like a revolution.
Can you hear the people sing of angry men?
Oh, no, it's definitely, we are definitely rallying together. It's a lot of us.
All right, so you got more, because I guess it would be like, as a parent, you don't want your kid to feel left out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of like suck it up and do it. But yeah, if you get a group of you together and all of you aren't doing it, then one child's not going to be singled out.
We're forming a union.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's happening.
Right. Yeah.
But it is. I mean, there's several moms in my life that, again, we are learning that when we were little, we just had no idea how much work Santa really put into Christmas. Like, yeah, you would think this man's going all across the world delivering toys to boys and girls and going through his nice and naughty list. But yeah, the magic of Christmas definitely can take a toll on you when you have certain expectations that you put on yourself, and also certain expectations, like hearsay, the preschool puts on you.
All right, now give us a personality profile of the administrator that we are supposed to be texting with you.
She is... Who's the most happiest person for Christmas?
We just call them that person.
No, she's Buddy the Elf in preschool version. Yes.
Okay, super enthusiastic about Christmas.
And don't get me wrong, I love Christmas. It's just too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in the negotiation tactics, how many days of Christmas are we going for? Are we going for no Christmas? Are we trying to get it cut down to a couple days? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, how many days do we have on the books, on the calendar right now?
So we're doing 12 days of Christmas leading up to the kids.
All of them. Okay.
Everyone.
So what is the acceptable negotiation number for you? Because we'll come in low and say none. And then she'll come back with 10. And then we will handle this like it was a radio contract.
All right. So looking at your list, you can't really negotiate the Christmas program because that's typically the whole school. My son's doing one of those as well. So I think that one has to stay. I think of the 12, I'd go in with four.
Four?
Mm-hmm. How about five? Like a full week, Monday through Friday.
Well, just the week leading up to Christmas break?
Just the lead.
That's a lot, though,
four,
isn't it?
Four is such a random number, though. Like, they're never going to go for it.
One a day for moms, though, and dads to get the kids? And it's mostly going to be moms, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big stretch from 12.
My question here is, like, what's the consequences of not participating? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, is there anything you have to participate in? Like, do you have to bring in, like, a dish for World Christmas Day or something?
So, there aren't repercussions, but... At four, your kids are asking questions. Mm. Like when Jimmy, but I mean, he wasn't this kid. He's not trying to pull a guilt trip on his mom, but he's like, why don't we have any Halloween decorations?
And you can't get over that because we don't want to put them up because I'm mom tired.
So I think with this, if everybody shows up in a wacky Christmas hat and your kid's the only one that doesn't, it's the guilt trip. It's the mom guilt. So I can understand why you guys have banded together to try to just like make life a little bit easier for yourselves, especially this time of year.
All right. So, Joan, let's stop here. And when we come back, we will negotiate the proper number. And then we will hit up this school administrator and say, look, your 12 days is just too much. Way too much for us to put all these outfits together and the extra work for moms. And we'll see if we can negotiate that number down. Okay.
Thank you guys so much.
All right. Burt Show Texting Tutor coming up next.
The Burt Show.
All right, so we're about to start texting with and for Joan here to the preschool administrator, who is very enthusiastic about Christmas, Buddy the Elf enthusiasm we're talking about here. And she has set up a program that each and every day, the 12 days leading up to Christmas break, the kids are supposed to come in a different theme. What were these themes again?
So the email that Joan had sent us had she listed out... I'm pretty sure she just copied and pasted the email she got from the preschool. So, leading up, you have to dress up as your favorite Christmas character. Then the next day, you have to wear your favorite Christmas sweater. Then the next day, you have a Christmas pajama day. Then there's World Christmas Day. Then there's a Christmas dance party. You have to bring your favorite Christmas song. Then there's a Christmas show and tell, the Christmas cookie swap, the gingerbread man decorating, the Christmas hat, the Christmas ornament making, Secret Santa with class, and then the Christmas program.
All right, we can get rid of...
I got all of that.
All right, so why don't we just start the conversation and see if we can at least get this number down. Maybe, does she have kids herself?
She does.
So she should know.
Okay. Yeah,
but she probably loves it.
But she's so enthusiastic about it. Yeah.
Now, Joan, do we want to come in with a solo attack, or are we letting her know you are a representative of a group of moms?
So
let's be real subtle. You know, I do know her, but I want to just make sure I'm speaking for everyone. I want her to know that.
Okay. All right. Because I know sometimes you're not supposed to speak for everyone, but in this instance, if you were nominated,
yeah,
then that's how we'll go.
And this administrator sounds like a really good person. So there's no enthusiastic, but a good person. So there's no chance that because you're the talking head here, she's going to take this out on your kid.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
We'll see.
Man, she's just going to make him dress up as his favorite Christmas character.
You may start looking for an NIL deal at a different preschool.
Do you know what I would do from South Park? I'd do Mr. the Christmas hanky poo.
Oh, come on.
Hello, yeah. Everybody. Christmas hanky poo. And it used to jump around and leave turn marks everywhere.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I'll show you a video.
Okay. So how do we start this thing out, Joan? Have you ever texted her before?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm very nervous for you because I don't want there to be consequences for your child. I don't think there will be because that would be such a, like, you know, low blow. I wish you all would just do a letter and, like, everybody sign it to just, like, send it to her. But I think you hit her up and be like, hi, this is Joan Blank. I am Blank's mom, because everybody knows you at a preschool as, you know, so-and-so's mom. Hardly anybody knows you by your name.
Should we hit her with some positivity right off the bat? Like, all of us appreciate your enthusiasm for Christmas.
Yes.
For sure.
I'm reaching out to you on behalf of several other moms at the school.
Several other Grinches.
Several other Scrooges.
Several other parents.
Yeah, several other parents. While we appreciate your enthusiasm for the holiday season, we have become overwhelmed by
the amount of
request
festivities,
by the amount of, I like festivities.
The amount of theme? No, festivities?
The amount of theme days leading up to the holidays.
The amount of theme days leading up to Christmas break.
Okay.
There you go.
Should we tack on like a, we were wondering if we could cut it down to just 1 week?
Give her a number.
How about we negotiate? Like, how about we do a little Christmas negotiation?
That's good.
On how many theme days we execute.
There you go. That's good.
With a smiley face.
Big smiley face.
Big smiley face. Like a hee-hee. The one that has a little.
The teeth.
Yeah.
And then the squinty eyes.
Big smiley face, and I am ready to send.
Go for it. Okay, you guys, before we get a response back, I am going to describe the Christmas villain. You have to tell me who it is, okay?
All right.
So you would be sending Jimmy to the favorite Christmas character theme, okay? He has a suit on with a red tie. It's a black suit with a red tie and a gun in his hand. Who is
it? Hit me.
The Terminator?
Nope. This is a Christmas movie.
Is it from
Christmasville?
Is it from Die Hard?
Yes. What's his name?
Oh. I've never seen Die Hard.
Hans Gruber!
He does have blonde hair.
He does. You let us know when she hits you back, if she hits you back, and I'm sure it'll be impeccable penmanship.
Okay. I will let you know.
Okay. This villain has a ski cap on. It's a black ski cap. It's a black, you got it, a black overcoat.
The burglar from Home Alone.
You got it.
That would be an amazing. Oh, she hit you back.
Okay.
I like this game.
Okay. It says, hi, Joan. Thank you for sharing your concerns. I understand December can be overwhelming, but these activities are designed to bring joy and create lasting memories for the kids. We've kept them simple and fun, and I hope we can work together to make this a magical season for everyone.
Oh, I like her. So here's the deal. They are simple, but there's so many of them that it's no longer a simple task. If there was one of these, like if you guys just did a Christmas cookie swap, well, then there you go. That's fantastic. But having like one every single day, that defeats the whole purpose of being simple.
I think that you say that, so we can text back. They are simple and fun, but the sheer amount of them
makes it stressful.
Makes it very stressful on all of the moms.
I think we also need to double down on the fact that it's not just you being like, I've spoken to multiple parents who have expressed this concern.
Yeah, you ended it with all the moms. That's good.
The greatest gift you can give us moms this season is a f-ing break.
That's what we're dressing our kid up as.
Okay, so that they are simple and fun, but the amount of them, I just want to put exactly what you said. I like that.
Yeah, but the sheer amount of them makes it very stressful for all the moms. Mm-hmm.
Let us know when you send it.
Okay.
This Christmas villain has very sharp teeth, also has a white tuft of hair. It is white, kind of bluish also.
The Yeti?
It's from, well...
Is it Frost, Mr. Frost?
No, it's from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but and the monster's name is...
Abdominal Snowman.
Yes. Abominable.
Abominable.
The abdominal. He's got so many abs.
He's got abs.
Oh,
boy,
was he in The Merry Gentlemen? No, that's a Netflix film.
That could be next year's Netflix Christmas movie.
Abdominal Snowman.
Abby and the Abdominal Snowman.
I love it so much.
Sign me up.
Oh, that was funny.
Okay, this Christmas villain looks pretty rich. He's got a black overcoat on. And
Mr. Scrooge!
Yes.
Yeah.
What's his first name?
Okay, Mr.
Ebenezer.
Ebenezer, sorry.
He's got no abs.
Ebenezer.
Go ahead, Joan.
Okay. I completely understand, Joan, and I truly appreciate the effort parents put into these activities. I know the children appreciate it, too. The goal is to make the season memorable for Corey and other kids. If there are specific ways we can help you, we are happy to discuss.
Yes.
I told you how you could help us.
You can help by eliminating some of the themes.
Yeah, we're discussing right now.
Thank you for being willing to help. That's what we're going to start with. Thank you for being willing to help. How do I want to phrase this? What I'm trying to say is, like, if you can be forgiving of some students who do not participate, that would be fantastic.
I think
there you go.
Yeah. I think you just said it. If you could be lenient.
Yes, if you can be lenient and forgiving for those students that don't participate, that would be great.
I feel like that's fair.
Because then, Joan, you and the other moms can get together and be like, okay, these are the ones we're just not gonna do.
Do what you want and so will we.
Yeah. Does that seem fair?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's no consequences of them not doing it. No. I mean, your kid might be like, oh yeah.
And then we're giving her a heads up, like listen.
Nope.
You can shove that Christmas hat where the sun don't shine.
Okay, so thank you for being willing to help. If you can be forgiving of the students that do not participate, what was the next one?
That do not participate in some of these theme days, that would be much appreciated. I mean, what's she going to say to that?
Right.
No, you have to participate?
Right, no.
Well, actually... Santa's not going to come to your house if you don't.
I'm putting you on the naughty list.
This
back to
Christmas
the game.
Villain-ish, also has a winter hat on. It is a thick fur hat. And...
Oh, wait. Martha May Huvier.
Who?
Who? That?
The Grinch.
Oh, no.
From the live-action Grinch.
No, this is
she
a person.
She had a beautiful fur hat on.
This is a person.
She is also a person.
A man. With a fur hat on that doesn't get along with Chevy Chase at all.
That doesn't get along with Chevy Chase.
I have no idea.
Oh! Is it the boss from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? It's not Eddie. Eddie's not a villain.
It's not Eddie?
It's not Cousin Eddie.
No.
The furry hat.
Oh, Margo and Todd?
Oh, you know what? I think I got it wrong. I did get it wrong. It is Chevy Chase's character. It was Chevy Chase's character was Clark Griswold, right?
Yes.
That's who it is.
He's not a villain, is he?
He is not.
He's listed on Ranker.com as one of the villains.
The illustrious journalistic prowess of Ranker.com.
Okay, guys, she did text back.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so of course, Joan, participation is always optional. However, these activities are a big part of the holiday experience we've created for the class. And you, I'm not sure, I'm so sorry. You to help Corey join in where possible. It's about building a sense of fun and community for all the kids.
I think we say to her, like, look, we understand where you're coming from. We just want to give you a heads up that all of us will not be participating every day.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
How about we hit her back with... Thanks again for your understanding. We will participate where we can and just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
And then you take these screenshots and say, now listen, listen, Joan. You all moms have to have each other's back. Like, nobody can be caving, and then all of a sudden, Corey's the only one showing up to class with no cookies for the cookie swap. Mm-hmm. So, y'all... Well,
you gotta bring cookies. I mean, bow out of the other ones, okay. But you gotta bring cookies, Joan and Corey.
All right, so... Abby does love her sweet tweet. All right, so whatever you guys decide, you need to stand together and stick by that, because you don't want one kid showing up being the only one who's not participating. It's one thing if half the class does and half the class doesn't. I actually think that's okay. But if you have one singled out, that's not going to bode well, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And Joan, like, I don't know if you're like ours. We have a home mom. And if you all want to send an email to everybody in the class, be like, hey, just a heads up. We felt we were overwhelmed by this list. These are the days we're going to do. You all feel free to, you know, do whatever. And just so everybody's in the know.
Okay. I just sent that check.
Okay.
Okay. All right. One last final Christmas villain.
We all feel good with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
All right. He is red from top to bottom. And there are flames all around him, and he's got horns.
Satan!
Yes.
Because so many kids write Dear Satan instead of Dear Santa.
Satan is not a fan of Christmas. Not at all.
Not shocking.
Yeah, he and Jesus don't get along.
No. I haven't really been listening to Texting Tutor. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. I've been Googling.
Right. We're good.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that Texting Tutor. Uh-huh. Have a good day.
Yeah, make sure your kids learn how to write Santa, not Satan.
All right, Joan, good luck.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye now.
Godspeed.
The Burt Show.
Our producer, Messy Mikey, has now entered the pace lap of marriage.
Woo!
Moving in together with somebody. Isn't that what it is? Right?
Yeah. I think that's kind of you prepping to maybe propose, right?
What? What are you guys saying all this for? I'm just moving in with my lady. Yeah, I know. Come on, slow it down. Yeah,
I mean, this is the natural progression in all of that, though. I mean, you move in with somebody, you see if you can cohabitate and get along together. And before you know it, after that, you're getting married. You're getting hitched.
Well... Or you could just not think about it and just look to have some fun.
Yeah, live an ignorant bliss, Mikey.
Yeah, it's there fun.
You
go.
This is the first time that you have ever lived with a woman.
That's correct.
Outside of your mom.
And sister, yeah.
All right. And this is the first time that she has ever lived with a dude.
I hope, as long as she's telling the truth.
Okay. Let's hope she's not a liar.
There are a lot of do's and don'ts, man, when you're moving in with somebody for the very first time.
Yeah.
Anybody have any specifically, Mo?
Figure out your personal space early.
Mm.
Place where you can go and she can go to where you can get some time to yourself.
That's not coming out of Mo's mouth. That's coming out of his soul.
I'm telling you, it's important. Trust me. It is a one-bedroom apartment, so there's not going to be a lot of personal space, but it is what it is.
Cassie, what you got?
Decide on chores, who's doing what. Mm-hmm. Decide on bills, who's paying what. And get two comforters for your bed. You each have one.
Okay.
Okay.
I've heard that.
Rebecca, who handles our social media, what do we got from Facebook besides, hey, you guys suck?
Yeah, I I do see that a lot. I consulted with the Opinion Emporium, a.k.a. Facebook, and they took it really seriously, and they had great advice. Honestly, the number one thing is what Cassie said. They recommended the Scandinavian sleep method, which is to sleep with two separate duvets on your bed.
Oh, I thought it was one person lives in America and the other one lives in Scandinavia.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's perfect for both.
Yes, sir. Wait, we did get a duvet, mm-hmm. which is the toilet thing.
No,
honey,
that's a bidet.
It's a bidet. Okay, well, we got a bidet. what's a duvet?
Duvet is the fluffy, feather-filled, like, sheet that you put a comforter.
All right.
A bit different.
Anyway. Okay.
That might have been the funniest thing you have ever said on the radio.
We got a bidet.
Do not confuse the two.
Yeah, two duvets, so you're not fighting in bed over, like, the sheets and stuff.
I'm not kidding. That is the most underrated piece of relationship advice ever. You get your own, then you're never fighting. You're not waking up because they're yanking it over. It is, that way you can share a bed, but you got your own comforter and your own sheets, and it is magical because you can cocoon yourself down without disturbing the other person.
Do you guys have an understanding now of the snuggling situation? Like, is she a cuddler? You're not a cuddler. Does she get hot and you're not going to get all rejected when she's like, I'm sweating, get away from me?
Well, I turn sideways in my sleep. So she usually has to leave the bed and sleep somewhere else because I just sleep sideways with my feet hanging off the bed.
What?
Which is not ideal for her.
What size bed is this?
Like,
right.
I'm in a twin bed where my feet already hang off the end of it. And so I'm excited to have a big bed.
You're a big boy.
If you started in the bed sideways, would you end up the right way?
Oh, now there's an idea.
Interesting.
I don't know. We'll see what happens when I get my duvet.
Well, Craig suggested making an agreement that the whole toilet lid is put completely down each and every time.
Ah. That's not going to be a problem. I sit to pee.
Yeah, I do have to learn each other's bathroom language. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Hold.
Mom. All right, yeah, I know. I'm surprised nobody took issue with that.
No, I was chuckling over here.
Yeah, I was buying time. You sit down to pee.
Yeah, why would you not? Why would you decide to stand?
It's the way you're supposed to do it.
Where is this in the Bible?
Well, because it's not in the Bible, but scientifically, they say it's impossible for a man to urine standing up and not get urine everywhere.
That is absolutely
actually,
not true.
That's true.
Sitting down aids you in emptying your bladder better for men.
Is that right?
Emptying it.
Uh-huh. It's a couple benefits.
I'm a healthy guy.
All right, cool.
Why would you stand up when you could be resting?
Maybe because I just
actually enjoy the experience.
Toxic masculinity.
It's totally.
That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I am all about it.
Me too. Right.
What do you guys have against it? It doesn't make any sense.
No, all
it
is. So if you're out in public then, right? Let's say you're at a Georgia game.
I'm at a bar or a concert, no can do, but... If I'm in a clean place, sure, I'll sit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jason says, learn how to fold towels correctly. Apparently, there is a wrong way. Do you know how to fold a towel correctly?
No. What's the point?
That's not a thing.
Made me mad.
That's only a thing if your girlfriend says it's a thing.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll listen to her, not Craig.
I want to step in here with a homework assignment for you guys.
Okay.
So I go to Reddit just to sort of like jog my memory on what, you know, the do's and don'ts of moving in together. And the second one that pops up, she says, I highly suggest having a deep conversation with him before making that step. Ask the stupid, the silly, and the serious questions. Okay, here it comes. I have a whole 4-page, 70-question questionnaire for my boyfriend and I to answer before we make the official decision. Here are some good ones to start. When I tell you that this thing scrolls for over and over and over again, this is how it starts. What do you consider cheating? Do you believe in not going to bed angry with each other? What is something you worry about us long term? Why do you want to move in together? What does me time mean to you? How much time do you need? And it goes on and on and on. Now, I am not going to ask you and your girlfriend to answer all of these questions. I am going to ask you guys to answer 5 questions or ask each other the 5 questions. You get 5, she gets 5. That you think are the most important. Then come on in on Monday and tell us how you guys answered.
Okay. Also, though, like, you can learn on the fly. That's how everything happened. I mean, I learned this whole relationship on the fly. You don't have to have everything scripted out.
Yes.
No spontaneity, whatever that is, that makes me mad.
I will say, I've never lived with a man before, but I have lived with roommates before. I lived in my sorority house all 3 years, and I will say the one regret I had with all of my roommates is that we didn't have the hard conversations before the actual roommate situationship happened, because if you set expectations and standards and rules and things that you want to be able to maintain in your living space beforehand, then when those things come up, you can bring them up and be like, hey, remember when we talked about this? Rather than just getting upset and blowing up in the moment.
Okay, well, I'll say I've lived with roommates too, and we've sat down and had those conversations. It's all a pipe dream. Nobody abides by their own
rules.
Girls are different.
Gals.
And I will say there is nothing that will breed resentment in your relationship faster than watching dirty dishes stack up and expect like the other person's supposed to do them.
I'm dish man. I'm going all dishes. Every dish that has to, she cooks, I dish. Boom.
Well, solved. At the end of the day, you'll always have that at least one thing in common, and that's that you both sit down to pee.
That's nice. That's a good start. It's a match made in heaven.
The Burt Show.
All right, I need the help of Abby and Cassie here. I will be honest with you that since the election, I have purposely stopped watching and following new more news lately, like the consumption before the election. And I also noticed last year I was consuming so much news that it was really changing. It was like changing my soul. It's putting me in a crappy mood. So I decided, look, no more. After the election, that's it. I'm really going to start tempering what I'm watching and what I'm reading. So I see this headline coming up over and over and over again, and I have purposely avoided it. But in listening to you guys here in studio, I certainly am in more interested than I was before. And it feels like everybody, because it's every headline that when I do go to news apps, it's the glaring headline, and I've skipped it every single time. And it's about this insurance CEO that got murdered in New York. Yeah. This is a crazy case.
Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare, was essentially assassinated. He was shot in a targeted attack outside his hospital on Wednesday. Outside his hotel, the Hilton Hotel, on Wednesday in New York City. He was going to be at the company's annual investor conference. So police have released a couple of photos of, there's footage of the guy shooting him in the leg and the back. He did not survive. Brian Thompson was only 50, but they are testing like a discarded water bottle. They have found a discarded cell phone they were looking at.
Let me interrupt you for just one second, because yes, as I understand it, and I haven't read a lot about it, dude pulls up on a bike, shoots the guy, and then just rides into Central Park, and they can't find him?
He took off on a bike. Lyft has come out. They own City Bike, because it was said it was like a rental City Bike, but it's not. But yeah, he pulls up, shoots him, and takes off through Central Park on a bike. On the bullets, he was shot 3 times. There were deny, defend, and depose, which is sort of known. It mimics the delay, deny, defend, which is commonly used by the insurance industry to deny claims and things like that and not pay out people. So United obviously has been coming under a lot of fire, no pun intended, for denying claims and complicating access to healthcare. And this is on the heels, too, of Blue Cross Blue Shield coming out and saying that they're going to limit how much anesthesia they pay for in surgeries. So they're giving surgeons a time limit on like a kidney transplant. And if they go over the time limit, they're not paying for anesthesia.
I actually just saw that because of this whole thing, they actually pulled back that claim and they're not going to do it anymore because of just how much press this is getting.
Well, yeah, there's nobody more relieved than the CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Well, a lot of the insurance companies have taken their leadership pages down off their websites, so you can't identify who their leadership is because of this. And, you know, the thing is, what has been most telling, it's giving like 1790s France and the whole eat the rich and the revolution, because nobody is sad in any of the comments on any platform when you're looking. There might be one or two people being like, this guy's a human being. And everyone's like, yeah, well, one life versus hundreds of thousands of lives when you're denying access to claims. So his death is highly politicized. No matter, it just has to be. It is what it is. So I do wonder if this is going to be, I am not an advocate for murder in any way, shape, or form, but I do wonder if this is going to be the catalyst that shocks the country into better regulations on healthcare.
What was engraved on the bullet?
Deny, defend, depose.
And why is that?
That's because the insurance industry, a lot of them, their unofficial motto is like deny the claims. And usually delay responses, so drag it out, so the patient or whoever is filing the claim is like, fine, I'll take what I can take. I can't afford not to. And the depose or defend, which is defend in court, and say, like, no, we're not doing it because of X, Y, and Z.
So if they're saying they can't find this guy, why am I seeing pictures of him online?
Because the girls think he's hot.
Seriously?
Dead ass.
Really?
Yeah.
But they couldn't identify him on that bike, though, right? His whole face was covered.
Most of his face is covered, but not all of it. His jawline is showing.
Yeah, they do believe, and some of his eyes are, and they believe they have tracked him down to a hostel nearby, and they think that they're working with Greyhound. They think that he may have purchased a ticket from Atlanta to New York in November and taken the Greyhound. I'm not quite sure how they know that, and they don't know who this guy is, so I wonder if they're keeping his name secret while they do some investigation. However, they've released two different photos, one supposedly showing his full face, and when you compare it to the, there's one photo, and when you compare the two, different jacket, different color backpack, it looks like a different guy, so I'm not quite sure what they're going for. I think that right now they're just looking at people for questioning and they don't have an official suspect.
So is the official, like, is the sentiment that you guys are seeing online, like, I hope they don't catch this guy?
Yes. A lot of people are like, I'm glad that he did it. That's kind of the general sentiment that I'm seeing. And then the satirical route is, and he's hot too. Mm. And he has a passion.
I mean, the comments are some stuff like, oh, those bullets were made 10 years ago, so it's a pre-existing condition. Nothing I can do about it.
God. Okay.
Or, oh, sorry, you didn't submit for approval for thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, my empathy is out of network.
Yep. So it's, but that is, when I am telling you, 99.9% of the comments, and of which there are thousands, are doing that sentiment. There's a real problem with health insurance in this company and access to it. And I think this, while it is not the tactic and it is not how we should be handling things, I think it is speaking volumes. It's very eat the rich. It's like Marie Antoinette and the French. Let them eat cake, and then they beheaded all the royals and the rich people who are keeping the people down. And it's the same kind of thing. These health insurance companies are not paying out on claims. So my theory is the shooter had either maybe his mother or a sister or a child die because United didn't approve some life-saving medication or something like that, and this is a revenge. That's my theory, because I've also seen other people coming out now saying, oh, cool, so-and-so, you know, my son had a heart surgery, and you guys decided that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that a hospital stay that night wasn't medically necessary, so you didn't approve it.
My opinion is that there's probably some kind of underground system that hired this guy to be a hitman to take the fall for this, because I was looking at statistics for all of the different health insurance companies that people use, and United Healthcare, I believe, is the largest one in the country, but they also have the highest rate of denials for claims. So like the average, I think, is around 17%, which is where like Blue Cross Blue Shield falls. So it's like 17% for denials for claims. But United Healthcare is like something crazy, like 32%. So they clearly gone after this guy because United is clearly the poster child for being the worst of the worst.
I did read that his head of security some years ago, for whatever reason, they dissolved his security. And the head of security recently just came out after he got shot and killed. Is like, I cannot believe that he didn't have 10 bodyguards around him, because he gets death threats all the time. And said, if I'm a CEO of any one of those insurance companies, they should have security 24/7. Not because of this, but because of all the threats they get every single day. Christine has a theory here. Hey, Christina, good morning.
Hi. Has anyone thought that the wife may have hired this guy to kill her husband?
Why?
They have been living separately.
Well, they were separated at the time. And I mean, wouldn't that be when all these people are throwing out so much hate about, oh, I'm so glad he got shot, I'm so glad he got shot, and all of a sudden this comes out to be like, oh, I didn't even think that's a possibility.
Dang, that would be right.
I mean, it may not be, but it could have been.
That's like a Netflix show. That's a plot twist nobody saw coming. Well,
that does affect her, because he makes millions. And he became CEO in 2021. And under his leadership, he's increased our profits from $12 billion to over $16 billion by denying people access to health care.
You don't seem too sympathetic.
It's very tough for me. I've actually had a lot of moral quandary and thought over this, because murder and senseless murder, I'm never okay with. But personally, the way that CEOs and people run healthcare companies, you know, he got shot and he's been murdered. But if he does it, it's called increasing shareholder value, is the way I see it.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Ask yourself this question. What celebrity would you have the opportunity to meet that would make you change plans that you already have? Mo, what celebrity would you have to meet to go, ah, you know what? I had something planned, but oh, that person's going to be there. I'm changing my plans.
Beyoncé or Jay-Z. That's first to come to mind.
That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Cass?
Meghan Markle.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of hers. Huh? I really like her, and I'd love to meet her.
I've got a ton for clout. So many.
Really any A-lister.
Change those plans like that. That is the question for Abby that Tommy is about to, in reality, present to her.
Abby, what are your plans tomorrow eve?
So tomorrow, I've had this...
the eve of tomorrow.
tomorrow eve, I guess, would be tonight.
Yeah, tonight I'm watching...
Tomorrow evening.
Yeah, tonight I'm watching crappy Christmas movies. But tomorrow, I do have plans. I'm headed to a friend's house who she has an annual Christmas cookie party every single year. It's been on my calendar for literally a year. I'm very excited. This is a big deal. We're decorating cookies, Tommy. It's the Christmas spirit.
What's the address? 123 Lame Avenue?
No.
Just, I would say if this was me and I had Abby's plans, it would be name any celebrity. And I will blow off the cookie making.
Listen, I love friendship and frivolity. I can't wait to dress up and go.
It could be a reality show celebrity. I'll meet the celebrity.
I thought of two people when this was presented to me as an opportunity for myself. I myself, my house is a wreck. We have to decorate for Christmas, so I'm passing up said opportunity. And I'm not one to usually pass up going to an event such as the one I will be revealing in a couple minutes.
Especially on the eve of a Sunday.
Yes. It is the eve of a Sunday.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be Saturday night.
You should just change it to Sunday Eve every Saturday.
So, the question I present to you, Abby. What are your top five guys, celebrities, that you like?
We already got the first one out of the way. Shmiley Shmeen. Who shall not be named for a free clout anymore.
Now, is this people that you admire just like dudes that you are attracted to that if you meet them, you think, yeah, maybe there would be some chance that, you know.
Oh, hot guys.
Hot guys.
For those of you who don't know who Shmiley Shmeen is, that is Riley Green, country music star.
There
you
go. That was just 7,000 more in free advertisement, Tommy. There we go.
Yep, go ahead.
You are giving the show way too much credit. Go ahead.
So we have him, Glenn Powell, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yep.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. And I met him.
Charles Melton.
Charles Melton?
Melton. Sorry. I'm a little stuffed, so.
Who is that?
Melton.
Riverdale.
Oh. Okay.
Super hot dude. Generic hot man.
Okay. Next question. What are your next five guys?
Here's the B list. Tom Blythe.
This person is not a B-lister. This person is definitely...
It's her B-list. It's my B-list. Yeah.
Okay, well, your B-list is wrong.
Okay, so I need A-listers.
This person is A-list.
And this is generational A-list, B-list, too. Like, for you, Brad Pitt is going to be an A-list.
No, but
for
Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay.
I would say this person is stretched across the board. Because one thing in particular that he did span the ages.
I feel like it has to be movie-related. Because you're a big movie buff. Like, you're not getting excited about, like, some country music artist with that.
I will tell you, it is movie related.
Okay.
It can't be that big for Tommy not to change his plans.
And Rebecca is going. I thought of two people. I thought of Abby and Rebecca. And Rebecca's going, and she is super excited.
If Rebecca's excited about it, too, and it's a guy. It's a man, for sure.
Stay away from pronouns.
Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise.
No, it's not.
Who else? I don't know.
I think everybody in this room would know who he is. He's not a complete unknown.
I think I would argue he's almost a household name.
How can it be an A-lister that is not?
See what I did there, Rebecca?
That is not a complete. His hint was complete unknown.
Complete unknown.
I would go back to naming the celebs that you were.
Seriously,
naming.
You're our entertainment reporter,
Timothée Chalamet.
Yes!
Timothy Chalamet?
You think I want to date Timothy Chablagoo?
I didn't say wanted to date him. I said like him.
I think that he is going to end up being one of the greatest actors of this generation. He is brilliant.
I feel like he's already there.
Yeah. He's in all the major films. He's in Dune. He was in that Wonka movie that somehow got a sequel.
And that's what I was talking about, stretching the ages, the Wonka movie. Old people, young people.
He would not be on a list of people you'd want to be around. Now, what would be her participation in hanging out with
him? And a complete unknown is his new movie where he portrays the legendary Bob Dylan.
Oh, that's right.
There will be a screening of this Searchlight Pictures film tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6.
Timothée Chalamet.
And Timothée Chalamet will be on hand participating in a Q&A.
Timothée Chevrolet is a generational talent, but you framed it as if it was going to be a hot man. I thought I had a hot date for Sunday Eve, Tommy.
You don't think Timothée Chalamet is hot?
He looks like Oliver Twist grown up.
What?
The dude seen him in that sexy new ad that he does?
That cologne, right?
Like, no. Natalia Dyer from Stranger Things.
I'm sorry. You like Hopper from Stranger Things.
I do. Are you not going to go to this thing? If I was in town, I would definitely ask you to go.
No, I'm not going. Two people in a relationship can't have an iron deficiency. He's a no for me.
The Burt Show.